Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Shadow Camera and John Retsche, 94 WIP. Of course, Ray Dittinger every single Wednesday at this time. And we've got a deep dive to do with Ray on the Eagles. Couple of news and notes. One from the NFL and one, James, from the NBA.
Yeah.
What do you got in there?
So we are potentially on the verge of some very big Sixers news. Not done yet, but Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting out just 1 minute ago. The Philadelphia 76ers are in advanced talks on a deal to hire Daryl Morey to oversee the franchise's basketball operations.
Wow.
Let's go.
Well, that's big. I mean, if that happens, and I don't think Adrian Wojnarowski puts that out if it's not about to happen. We speculated when he left Houston. He's considered...
Okay, another update. A deal is expected to be finalized in the next few days, and Sixers GM Elton Brand is expected to remain in his current position, sources said.
Well, of course he is, but he just lost all his power.
Of course. I'm just reading the Woj tweet.
So, John, let me just tell you off the cuff, I have two thoughts. They go in totally different directions. Thought one is... Awesome. The Sixers are getting, you know, someone considered one of the great general managers in the NBA and pro sports. And for those that don't know his work in Houston, even though they didn't win a title, he certainly did a spectacular job over close to a decade putting piece to piece to piece to piece to piece together and made them competitive, highly competitive for a number of years. So on one hand, phenomenal. John, on the other
second
hand.
Second most wins in the NBA.
Wow.
Between 2007 and 2020.
Wow. All right. Phenomenal. On the other hand. And I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm just going to be honest with you and give you my honest opinion. I can't take anything that the 76ers say serious ever when they just told us it's Elton Brand's show. It's his show. And here's the thing. I said when they said that, I didn't believe it. I said last year when they told us that Elton Brand had final say, I didn't believe it. Elton Brand then announced after the season that he really didn't have final say. There was this collaborative thing. I never believe what they say. Maybe it's because they never really tell us the truth. Now, maybe the idea is we're finally going to get someone in here who the buck stops with him and that's it. And so disregard all the nonsense of the last 6 years. And maybe that'll be a convincing, walloping thing for people to say, okay, yeah, that's the new standard. And maybe it will be. But, I mean, John, they got eliminated from the playoffs like a month and a half ago. And they did this whole song and dance about it being Elton Brand's show. I didn't believe it then. I feel I was right to not believe it. And so while I am excited and happy that it sounds like Daryl Morey is about to be hired, I don't think I have to apologize as a Sixers fan for feeling like I was slapped around again.
Well, I wouldn't
is that
worry
fair,
about that
right?
Because the bottom line is we are improving our front office dramatically, and I don't care who's in charge as long as they make the right decisions, and we have a much better chance to make those right decisions with Daryl Morey in the front office. Yeah.
I know it seems weird to throw cold water on what should be a great hire. It's just, James, is that a fair – what I just said, is that fair?
Kind of. I get it. Like, I agree with your point. It doesn't absolve Josh Harris and all that stuff, what's happened. But, man, this is pretty exciting, and it makes the Sixers relevant again. And it does curtail my lack of faith in the franchise's chances.
Like, at least they're acknowledging they needed to do something.
You're the smartest men in the sport running your team all of a sudden. Like, who cares? That's why I think, who cares about
that's the way
and
I
stuff?
Feel.
We got Daryl Morey. We got Doc Rivers. Let's go.
All right, again, not a done deal, but James saying, Adrian Wojnarowski saying, next couple days expected to be a done deal. All right, let's go out on the Swartz-Cullerton guest line And certainly, you want to react to that, we'll take your calls. I mean, there's a lot in there. To the Eagles and football. And again, on the Swartz Culton guest line, if you're injured at work yet, Justice, call Swartz Culton at 800-JUSTICE. A couple of minutes delayed there as we were just going through some of that news. Mr. Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
Ray, I'm great. Ray, we're going to get to the Eagles in total detail in a moment, but just where do you stand on what we were just talking about? The idea of a great executive soon to be hired for the Sixers, but it's just another case of whiplash with the Sixers for fans. Where do you stand on that?
I see your point. I know what you're saying, but I think you have to take a look at the bigger picture. And if you can bring in an executive with that kind of track record and that kind of credibility, you got to do it. I know what you're saying, though. It sort of sends out a message of it's inconsistent.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you just finished basically saying that you're committed to Elton Brand and he's the guy, but I'm kind of with you, Joe. I mean, even when they said it, I don't know that I fully believed it.
Right.
And I don't know that I should have believed it. I mean, I think they needed to do better. And if this hiring actually goes through, they will have done better. So,
yeah.
You know, look, I think looking for consistency and message is you're probably looking for the wrong place with the Sixers.
And I guess, Ray, part of my point also, and I didn't say this, but now that I'm more thinking about it, is Daryl Morey will do a good job here, I feel, because he's a good general manager. But he's... You know, there are better ownership groups to work for. And I guess my fear is, will Josh Harris do, I don't know what it would be, but things that make it harder on Daryl Morey because Josh Harris is just a bad owner. Like, I don't want Daryl Morey to be in a compromised position because he's got someone that makes bad decisions and is inconsistent above him.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. But, no, look, he's a smart enough guy, and he's been around the block often enough that I think he would not be stepping into a situation in where that would be a case. I mean, I think he would – if this press conference really does take place and they really do announce that he's the guy, I think he will have explored it sufficiently that, you know, that's not going to happen. If they're bringing him in, it's with the understanding that he's going to run things, and he should run things. And if that's the case, then if you're a Sixers fan, you have to feel good about that.
All right, Ray, a lot of Eagles stuff to get to. John.
Think about the fact that, like, Daryl Morey is the guy who sort of – moved the NBA towards this like fast-paced shoot 'em up type style, like three-pointers galore.
Oh, Ben Simmons.
Think about that.
That's a problem. That's that.
Something's got to give, right?
And he's
and this is what we've been at. We've been begging for something to give.
And John,
I'm telling you, something has to give.
And he's a non-center guy. They had the Dwight Howard experiment, but that didn't go too well. And otherwise, they're just having an agile big guy with, you know, smaller guys. So then, you know, but not agile like a 7'2" center that's maybe the best in the world. That's a lot. That's a good point, John. All right, Ray, to the Eagles. Should they be buyers at the trade deadline? Should they be sellers? Should they stand pat? Like, we're trade deadline's in 6 days. What would you do if you're Howie?
Talk to everybody. You know, I'd definitely be in the conversation. I'd definitely be in the loop, and I'm sure he is. But I'd be hearing everything that was out there, and I don't know that I would go into it with the approach that I am either a buyer or a seller. I think I would go in with the approach that, look, I'm in the room. I want to hear what everybody has to say, and if something makes sense to me, I'll do it. And if it doesn't, I won't. But I'm not going into it compelled to feel like I have to be one or the other. I think you just go in there and you kind of see what the market is. I think this is going to be. This is going to be a weird trade deadline because of the nature of the league, because of the kind of season we're in, because of the way teams are having to try and conduct business now. This is going to be a real strange one, and there'll be some moves made. At this point, I wouldn't label myself either buyer or seller. I think I'm just going to react to what the market tells me.
What is the Eagles' identity, Ray?
Their immediate identity is they're the best team in a bad division.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what they are right now. Do they stack up with the top teams, the teams that are probably going to be, you know, when you get to the postseason, the teams that are actually really going to be vying for a championship, are they one of those teams? No, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the nature of the division, they're likely to be there. Because there's nobody else in the division that's really figures to be there. You know, the Giants are what they are. Washington is, they are what they are. And the Cowboys, who I think probably have the best talent in the division, are just such a mess from top to bottom that they've just basically fallen completely to pieces. So, you know, you're right now, you're the, you're the last team standing. Doesn't make you good, but it makes you the favorite.
Ray, Carson Wentz in this roller coaster of a season, does he net out for you? I mean, whether it's the first 7 weeks or just what he is, which is a little different than what he's been the first 7 weeks, what he is in the NFL, is he, in your opinion, an above-average starting quarterback, an average starting quarterback, or a below-average starting quarterback?
Well, the numbers would tell you he's below average. I mean, if you just look at the numbers,
Think of it this way, because I'm curious your answer to this way. I'm not so much saying based on the first seven games, because yeah, he had really bad games, and that's going to sink the numbers. But what, in your opinion, is he?
He's an above average quarterback, in my view. He's not a superstar. He's not in the same conversation as the very, very top guys, and we know who they are. But he's an above average quarterback who I think is a guy that I'm okay with. I really am. I think that he's had a really rough start this year, but I like what I've seen in the last couple weeks. And I think that what he's done in the last couple of years with the players that he's been asked to go to war with is pretty remarkable. You know, so I'm still, I'm still on the Wentz wagon. I am. I know that. I know there's been a widespread defection,
yep.
But I'm not among them. I think he's definitely an above average quarterback and a guy that I think can absolutely win for you, but needs more help than what he's getting.
What was the difference between Carson on the opening drive of the Giants game and Carson for the majority of the rest of the game?
I think that the opening of that game, they kind of got to doing what I felt they should have been doing earlier and sooner and more extensively, which was picking up the pace of the offense. I think that he works better that way. And he sort of indicated as much. And they knew, and they had said in the week leading up to the game that Doug in his roundabout way of trying to explain things had talked a couple times about, geez, we got to get off to a faster start, which they clearly do. They can't continue to try to play from behind. They're just not good enough. So he said that we got to have to find out a way to start faster, and I think they did. I think they came out. I think that the script that they put together, I think the game plan they put together going into the game was a good one, and it suited the personnel that they had. It certainly suited the quarterback, and the play reflected it. I mean, they moved it down the field, 11 plays, 7 of them were runs, 4 of them were passes. He completed all of them. And it accomplished what you wanted to accomplish, which was it got your offense off in a really good rhythm. It got you a lead, and that was good. And I thought that once they got beyond that, then they just sort of bogged down again, you know. And
yeah.
I think every time I see the pace of the game slow for them, and they give the defense a chance to match the personnel and substitute the way they want to substitute, then the advantage seems to shift to the other side. When the Eagles can keep it moving, and I'm not necessarily saying play Chip Kelly ball. I'm not necessarily saying go total no huddle, because I don't think that works either. But if you can move at a faster pace and you can limit the things that the defense can do, all of that, I think, works to the advantage of an offense like the Eagles right now, because it allows you to take advantage of your better matchups. And there aren't that many of them, but I think they're able to do it better when they work at a faster pace.
So I think we all agree that the identity of this team is they're not that good, they're not that consistent. Do you think that changes Doug's approach to risk-taking? His decision-making process at this point, it hasn't worked the way we'd hoped. And I think part of that is the team just isn't as good as we had hoped. So sometimes, should he be taking the points instead of risking it for a 2-point conversion in many cases?
Yes, I think so. I do think so. But I think part of it almost comes down to messaging. You know, I think part of it is I don't think Doug wants to totally change and get away from what they were before, because I think I'm trying to read his mind, and maybe that's a little bit unfair.
Yeah.
But I think he doesn't want to send a message to the players, look, I don't believe in you. I don't believe in you sufficiently to do the things I've done before. Mm-hmm. I think he thinks that would have a negative sort of impact. So he wants to try to continue to keep his foot on the gas. But there are times in the games, and I've thought this each of the last several weeks, mm-hmm. where, don't do that. You know, no, don't go for it here on fourth down. It doesn't make any sense. Look, kick the field goal, okay?
Yeah.
Just take the 3 points because this isn't 2017. I mean, you don't have that team right now. I think you kind of have to play. You have to kind of play to the team that you have. You have to play to the situation. Play to your opponent. And you know, It's not necessarily one book that you take into every game. I mean, it varies from week to week. And Lord knows what the way the roster has been this year. It's been varied, not just week to week, but almost quarter to quarter. And you have to coach to that, as opposed to coaching the philosophy. But I think, you know, I think Doug is very mindful of the way he's perceived and what he thinks that his leadership role should be. And I think sometimes he takes it to the extreme.
Joe DeCamera, John Rich, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. As we broadcast from the Tasty Cake studio, Ray Dittinger with us as he is every Wednesday at this time. Ray, more on Doug and something that John consistently brings up, and I'm curious if it resonates with you or not. John thinks the Eagles' offense, schematically, strategically, is not nearly effective enough. Whether it's the run game or the pass game or how the pass game works off the run game or how the run game works off the pass game, he just doesn't like the scheme. Do you agree with him?
Yeah, I do. I do. I don't know how you can look at what you got here, the 25th ranked offense, 24th ranked passing game, 15th ranked run game, and say that it's working.
I mean, we know it's not working, but is it personnel breakdown, or is it that plus Doug's just not dialing up, conceiving great plays during the week, calling great plays in the game?
No. I mean, yeah. If you just watch it, you see that. But I kind of understand it. I kind of understand he's just. I mean, if you look at the guys he's playing with, if you look at the guys that on the offensive line, you look at the when he doesn't have Sanders, you know, what he's got in the backfield, you look at the receiving core. I mean, imagine this team if they hadn't discovered Fulgham. I mean, right now you've got a lot of second and third team kinds of guys that are not just playing, but they're your guys now. And this is the point that I tried to make with the postgame guys on Sunday. You know, I mean, Michael and Seth and Barrett were all, you know, game's over and the Eagles win, and they're all saying, "Boy, that's, I don't know, yeah, you lucked this one out. You found a way to beat the Giants, but you know, you need more consistency. You need to play better. You need to be more this. You need to be more that." And my point was, number one, you won the game, so let's start there. But the other part is, anybody that's looking for consistency on this team, it's just not you can't do that. I mean, they're just not that good. They're not that team. This is a team you gotta, you know, they're just holding it together with shoestrings and chewing gum right now. And you just kind of got to go from series to series and just do the best you can. And a lot of it falls on the quarterback to try and make the whole thing work. But you know, to John's point about the overall scheme, It's hard to talk in terms of scheme when you're playing with the guys that you're playing with. You're just trying to almost survive. You know, you're just trying. You're right now. You're playing just sort of hold the fort football. You know, you're just trying to scrape through each of these games and win them to stay alive long enough that maybe you can start to get Goddard back and you'll get Sanders back and, you know, maybe you'll get Ertz back at some point and try and get some of your real players back. And then by the end of the year, hopefully at that point, you're still in position to make a run at something. But right now you're just trying to play to survive.
Ray, I know you'll make your official pick later in the week with Angelo in the morning, Eagles Cowboys, but I'm just curious, without an official pick here, is this a game that if Dallas plays their third stringer or maybe even if Dalton plays, that Eagles fans should sort of take for granted, or you know, it's a pretty big point spread, or are the Eagles just not good enough to put it in the kind of take it for granted category?
No, they're not. They're not. They're not.
they're
in their current state. They're not good enough to take anything for granted. The reason that I like them this week is just based on what I've seen. It's based more on what I've seen of the Cowboys the last 2 weeks, which to me they look like a team. They look like a team that just doesn't even want to compete. It's just as simple as that. I mean, they just don't want to play. And the one thing about the Eagles, flawed as they are a team that'll fight you for 60 minutes. You know, they are a team that and you know, the Cowboys, when you look at the Cowboys, I really do get the feeling they're not talking, they're not listening to Mike McCarthy even a little bit. I think they're still responding to Peterson. I think they're still listening to him. I think they're still playing for him. I don't think that's the case in Dallas. I think the culture of the team is that this is a team that will fight you. Even though they're not real good, they will fight you, even if you're better, as they showed against Pittsburgh and Baltimore. They'll come at you for 60 minutes. The Cowboys have certainly not indicated that. So, I would say that all those things seem to favor the Eagles in a big way this week. But when you look at the guys they're playing with, yeah, I mean, they're not in a position to take anything for granted. And I'm sure they're not. I mean, they know.
Yeah, I was more the fans. I was talking more of the fans.
Oh, the fans, yeah. I mean, well, the fans, you know, it's Dallas week, so the fans, you can't ask for the fans to be reasonable or rational. I mean, it's Dallas week. But and I've heard a lot of people say that, oh, this is going to be a blowout and everything. And it may well be. I mean, if the Cowboys come in here and they play the way they played in Washington on Sunday, it very well may be. But you can't assume that that's going to happen. The Eagles just aren't that team right now.
All right, Ray, awesome stuff as always. Of course, Ray with us every Wednesday at 12:45. Ray, stay safe. We look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks so much, Ray.
I look forward to it, too. Take care, Joe.
All right, Thanks, Ray. Mr. Ray Didinger. All right, to the phones. Let's go to Jay in South Philadelphia. Hey, Jay.
What's up, fellas? Thanks for being patient with me, man. Man, I got so many thoughts and emotions running through me right now. First of all, man, I definitely think we need to sell. And the thing about it, too, even if we do sell, there's still a possibility that we win this division. That's how crazy it is. But also, I think if we sell. Yeah, we might win the division. Or if we don't sell, right? Let's say we just don't sell.
Yep.
We win the division. Cool. We win the first round bye. That's cool. Because I have no doubt in Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz can definitely win 7 to 8 games this season. I think he's that type of player. Because I believe in him, and I think he's that type of player. But I don't want just that for Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm trying to be in the same conversation as the Seahawks, as the Kansas City Chiefs. They're set up for the next 3-4 years. They're set up. They're good. My brother is a big-time Chiefs fan from back in the 80s. And he has no doubt that they're going to win every single game this year. And they're going to win a championship this year. Because they're built that way. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm like, man, we need to get to that. We need to get to that point.
Yeah.
So if we got to sell players to do that for Carson Wentz, because, Joe, I don't know what you're talking about. Talking about that Carson's going to be off the team in 2 years? That's ridiculous. There's only two quarterbacks I'll take over Carson Wentz right now. There's only two. I'm dead serious. Because if you look at what Carson Wentz is playing with, name the top quarterbacks right now and tell me their weapons. Just tell me their weapons. They're nowhere compared to Carson Wentz's weapons. Mm-hmm. The only two quarterbacks I'm taking is Russell Wilson. I think he's the best quarterback. I think he's the best player in the league. And then Patrick Mahomes. If Drew Brees was on this team, he would retire.
You tell me you really wouldn't take Aaron Rodgers?
Come on, man. I wouldn't.
You're
take
telling
Aaron
me to come on. You're telling me to come on.
I would not take Aaron Rodgers. For me, I'm sorry. Not with this team. Look who Aaron Rodgers has. Look who he has, and he goes to that man 20 times a game.
Listen, I know. I get the feeling Aaron Rodgers would phone it in with this team.
I don't.
He would. He would fold.
I saw him fold. 2 weeks ago,
well,
against
you know
Bucks.
What? Maybe he's trying to preserve his body when they were getting blown.
Yeah,
out
well,
in the fourth
he's going to be trying to preserve his body with this group around him. That's
but he,
for sure.
But he knew he had something to preserve it for, which is the next week in a season where they are obviously rolling. Like Green Bay is going to be like 12-4 or better. I don't know. Give me a star making. Give me a star making role or moment.
I'll go with Robert Downey Jr. with Iron Man.
Yeah, it's a no. He was already famous. I mean. He was already pretty. Pretty
yeah, it took, him, it took him to another level.
Reemergence,
but,
though.
Yeah. Reemergence, yes. But after all that he did in the 80s and 90s.
No, he was well known enough.
Well known. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, plus he's Morton Downey Jr.'s son. So if you're more, I mean, wait, Junior and Junior. No, he's not Morton Downey Jr.'s son. All right, up ahead, Doug Peterson. What he said just a short time ago about Jason Peters. John, where's he going to play? What Doug said, you'll hear it next.
By
the way, also a chance to win the Nest Audio from Google at 1:30. Keep it here. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.